The Ghostbusters are here, Mr. Mayor.
The Ghostbusters. Okay, the Ghostbusters. Hey, where's this Peck?
Peck? I am Walter Peck, sir, and I'm prepared to make a full report. These men are consummate snowball artists. They use sense and nerve gases to induce hallucinations. People think they're seeing ghosts. And they call these bozos who conveniently show up to deal with the problem with a fake electronic light show.
Everything was fine with our system until the power grid was shut off by Dickless here.
They caused an explosion.
Is this true?
Yes, it's true. This man has no dick.
I thought about cutting off the punchline and just letting that be the opening because I thought you'd think it was funny.
No, but you know what? William Atherton,
yeah,
that guy, apparently people hate him because of this. And
Die Hard.
And Die Hard. But this one in particular, he would get into fights in bars. Like people would try to pick fights. One time walking down, I think, 7th Avenue, there was a street full of school buses, and all the children shouted, "Hey, Dickless," at him the entire time.
Well, he's back in the new Ghostbusters movie coming out this week.
Ooh. Is he still Dickless?
I don't know. I hope he's the mayor. When I heard he was back, I was like, I hope he's the mayor by now, because that's funny to me.
I haven't seen any of the new Ghostbusters. I saw the one with Melissa McCarthy.
How many more new ones do you think there are?
Two.
No.
There are two.
There's one.
There's two. It just came out next week.
It's not out yet. Frozen Empire? I don't remember the name. Well, we're covering Ghostbusters because the new Ghostbusters is coming out.
And how did you not start with the song? That's the way to lead off.
Well, because everybody thinks they know what song they're talking about.
The Ghostbusters song.
By Ray Parker Jr.
Yes.
That is not the best song in Ghostbusters.
Is it in part two when they shout, all the kids shout He-Man?
No, but that's pretty good. Because I was a He-Man fan. So
as was I, sir.
Let's see representation.
Yep.
As He-Man. If you feel like as a He-Man fan, you don't get the representation that you deserve.
You never do. Although Kevin Smith has brought it back, so that's nice.
Everyone always got G.I. Joe representation. I didn't care about G.I. Joe.
At the playground was where I spent most of my days. And all the kids played G.I. Joe. No one played He-Man. So my sword and the power of Eternia did not do very well against their guns.
Well, everybody thinks about the Ray Parker Jr. song. But the best song of Ghostbusters is Mick Smiley's Magic.
What is that?
It's a song that plays when Peck makes them turn off the power grid and all the ghosts escape. And you get this awesome music playing.
Is that like that doomy music?
Yes. Which I looked this up because I actually listened to the whole song. That is the the last part of a song that is much more upbeat until then. And then it has a giant tone shift. And the song is awesome. All right. I believe it's magic.
And that's the montage stuff of all the ghosts breaking loose. And
when you say, why didn't you play the song? I think you and I are thinking of different songs. Because I haven't played that song.
You just explained it.
Yes.
I was paying attention.
Wow.
I was bored, but I was paying attention. You know what I was thinking about?
Nope.
Ghosts.
Yeah. Does Bustin' make you feel good, Pete? As a follow-up to your story last week about your mom's Playboys?
You know what? Makes me sleepy.
Makes me hungry.
Bustin'. Pee-pee sleepy.
This came out in 1984 when we were 5 years old.
Is there anything really... Actually, we don't have to... It's Ghostbusters. People chase ghosts. They're real.
Yep, that's the end of the episode. You were probably five. I was four still, because I think this came out... This came out June 8th.
Aren't we the same age?
But you were born in June. I was born in August, so this came out 2 days before you turned five. It came out the same day as Gremlins, which, again, I don't know how it's not the only thing we ever talk about.
Right, you are hung up on this.
It's incredible. When I think of 80s movies that I love, those are two of the biggest ones, and they came out the same exact day.
Were both of them successful at the box office?
Yes, but Ghostbusters much more so.
Yes, I knew that.
Ghostbusters ended up being the number one movie of the year. Technically, because when the year was over, Beverly Hills Cop was number one, but they re-released this in 1985 and took over the top spot.
All right, I think it was the biggest moneymaker for whatever studio it was or distribution company.
I think it was Columbia.
Yeah, Columbia. It was Columbia's biggest movie.
And they had a real... You know the story about the title of the movie?
I do not know the story about the title. It's not about busting ghosts?
Well, Ghostbusters was a name owned by a previous movie. And they didn't know if they could get it or not.
Okay.
So even when they filmed the scene of people in the streets chanting for the Ghostbusters, they didn't own the right to the name Ghostbusters yet.
You know, that that goes with, I guess, in the montage scene where it's just showing them driving all over the city. They didn't that was like day one, and they didn't have any permits or anything. Yes. So in one of them, you can see like a security guard chasing them where Dan Aykroyd's driving and a security guard trying to get him out of there.
Well, they had like other names. It was going to be like the Ghost Catchers and the Ghost something. And I think what ended up happening was a guy that was working on this movie ended up getting a job at the studio that owned the title of Ghostbusters and then sold it back to Columbia.
Okay, so it was Ivan Reitman, Dan Aykroyd script?
So, yeah, Dan Aykroyd wrote a script that had aspects of this. The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man was in it.
I heard that it was originally supposed to be a fire. It was like the fire hall still, but it was teams of Ghostbusters, like established in the, you know, like in the future, like it's a thing.
He wanted a ton of Ghostbusters running around. Yeah. It was set in the future. It was all this technology, and they had to tell him like this is going to cost $200 million.
Didn't the Ectomobile fly?
He was writing something different.
Okay,
so they brought in Harold Ramis to co-write with him, who grounded it into reality.
Which works. It's got to be one of the classics of horror, right? Comedy horror?
It is, but it's funny because Dan Aykroyd was all into these big, giant ideas. And they were like, yeah, we can't afford that. So we're just going to put all the big ideas at the very end, which is what happens.
Yeah, but it's a hell of an ending.
But his original script didn't have any of the introducing the characters or the world. It was just like, yeah, so here's what it is. And it's like, it's completely insane.
All right. Well, I won't bring up Lucas because I don't think he actually had a script of any kind when he started. He just said, look what I can do.
Pete, I was told that all 9 movies were plotted. That's what we used to talk about at the playgrounds.
They were. Remember?
Yeah.
When and we saw them all,
kissing
finally.
Kissing his sister. And
so hot. That's what the internet's all about these days.
It is.
And getting stuck.
Yeah, about getting stuck. I saw this at a drive-in in 1984.
I did not. Really? The part? I did watch this on VHS. And we had rented it. I remember me and my friends would watch, well, one friend, Jamie Olemaker, shout out from when I was like 5 years old. We would watch the part where they're walking up the stairs when the elevators are out for the final confrontation. Yeah. And he says, tell me when we get to the 30th floor, I'm going to puke. We thought that was the funniest thing you could possibly say. And we rewound it so many times that the tape got that fuzz in it from being watched. Because just watch it, rewind. We laughed and we laughed.
That's funny because like there's a line right after that I think is the funniest line of the movie. It's when they get to the top and there's the new set of stairs. And he goes, and Dan Aykroyd goes, where do you think those go? And Bill Murray looks and goes, they go up. It's my favorite line of the movie.
That is solid.
I don't know why that line is so funny to me, but it's always been funny to me.
Nope. Is Bill Murray a jerk? Because I hear conflicting stories. All right.
And in real life, or in these movies?
In real life.
I guess that he's
kind of hard to work with, or is he a straight-up a-hole?
I guess it depends on your point of view on him. I hear both.
Okay, that's what I've heard, too.
I never hear good things. I never hear, like, oh, what a joy. What an easy man to work with.
Yeah, that is true.
I heard that, like, he verbally committed to this movie, and then they never heard from him. And they were, like, getting ready to shoot, and they're like, I guess he's going to show up. And then he just showed up one day, and they're like, okay, great. But they didn't know. They really didn't know for sure.
Because it was Belushi's role originally, right?
It was going to be Eddie Murphy they wanted?
Yep.
And
that's why they cut Winston's role down. It was a much bigger role.
I don't know that isn't revisionist history, though. Because
really?
Whenever
you that's hear what the people, internet told me.
Whenever you hear people talk about the original cast, it was Aykroyd, Murphy, and Belushi. That's 3 people. I know they cut Winston's role way down, but that's not. I don't think Eddie Murphy's coming in to be the 4th Ghostbuster. If it was written for him. Now, he never said yes to the movie in the first place. It was just written for him.
Okay.
But again, who wrote it for him? Harold Ramis with his grounded characters? Or no, because when they brought in Harold Ramis, they're like, you're also going to play a part, so you know how to write your script. Anyway, and John Candy would have been Tully. That was the other thing. Rick Moranis' character.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yes. Which no I could see, because you play it like his character in Vacation. The security guard. I could see him working as Tully.
Okay. Yeah. National Lampoon's I don't know. Vacation. I like Rick Moranis a lot in this role too.
Uncredited work on the script also.
Oh, no kidding.
So they had really good writers because those are funny people.
And I heard that most of the script was ad-libbed. It wasn't a script. It was all the scenes were ad-libbed.
I think it's clear Harold Ramis
had a hand.
He wrote it
in it.
The reason they wanted him to come in and write it in the first place was that he'd worked with Bill Murray multiple times and knew how to write for him. they did Stripes together. He'd written and directed Stripes. He knew how to write in Murray's voice, so Murray could just come in and be Bill Murray.
Okay.
Now, the Bill Murray thing, this is a very much a Quentin Jaws thing to me. When I watched this when I was a kid, I thought Bill Murray is the coolest motherfucker in the whole world.
I still do.
When I watched it when I got a little older, I thought, I don't know, this guy doesn't seem right.
He's a jerk.
I think if I had to work with him, I'd kill him.
What are you talking about? He's awesome.
And then I saw it again last night. I'd seen it in recent years. But I watched it again last night and I thought, I think I'm right. I think he's a jerk. I think I couldn't deal with him.
I don't know. Well, you don't have to deal with him if you are him.
Egon is the best character in this movie.
Yeah, if you're looking for your best workmate, yes, fine. If you want somebody to hang around
with. I also think he's the funniest guy. I also think he's best at his job, I think.
Good for Bill Murray in that situation. He's got somebody to do all the work for him, and he can just go out there trying to sleep with Sigourney Weaver. Is that a bad idea?
Some of the ways he goes about it are...
What's his face? Ray?
Yeah.
Dan Aykroyd, I think his real name is. He had sex with a ghost, which I didn't remember. I mean, as a child, like at some point when I watched it, I said, oh boy, I see what's happening here. Yeah. I was probably like 23 or so when I knew what it was.
Yes, the ghost blowjob.
It was something.
It's something.
It was meant to be a straight up horror movie, and it was a surprise that kids liked it so much, and I loved it as a kid, so I guess I missed all of that. And that's why part two is a lot more, kid friendly. And they take out things like the smoking and such.
Second one's terrible.
What are you talking about? It's got that guy. Who's that guy? Who's that little guy who was in Dragon Slayer?
The guy from Ally McBeal?
Yeah. Not Vigo.
Peter McNichol. I actually knew that name.
I knew that name too, but I'm clearly not right at this moment.
So this movie is 84. Ghostbusters 2 is 1990. In 2016, Paul Feig makes Lady Ghostbusters. I don't know what the name of it is. Ghostbusters Answer the Call.
I've seen those three Ghostbusters movies.
Everybody gets mad about how they're ruining their childhood by having Lady Ghostbusters. Did they not see Ghostbusters 2, which ruined my childhood?
Maybe they didn't. I thought it was all right. It wasn't anything to write home about that.
It's terrible. And it's one of those things that when people say, how are you going to make a new Ghostbusters? It's going to ruin everything. And I'm like, it's not even following Ghostbusters. It's following Ghostbusters 2, where they took a Statue of Liberty and danced down the street.
With good vibes and happy music.
How is it ruining anything when the movie it's following is trash?
Because that was awesome. You can't sully that. He brings out the Statue of Liberty, brings all the New Yorkers together, just like when they save Spider-Man. They can all work together. It takes special moments for New York to stand together.
Well, Spider-Man happened in a post 9/11 world.
Yes. So
that was very heavy handed, but at least it was like the right moment for it. What the fuck is bringing people together in 1990 when New York is an actual trash pit hell?
Well, this is how you make it better. See? The Statue of Liberty, and what was the song? Your Love is Lifting Me Higher?
Higher and Higher.
Yes. That would, you know what? That brought people together.
And then in 2021,
that's why the Berlin Wall fell down.
In 2021, we had, it was Egon saying, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
And then they played the music.
Yes.
Higher and higher.
In 2021, Ghostbusters Afterlife came out, which you have not seen.
No.
And it was a weird choice. I think it's a good movie. It's not nearly as funny.
I remember you said it didn't need to be a Ghostbusters movie, whatever it was.
It's strange to me that the movie is this nostalgic movie for a movie where Ray gets a blowjob from a ghost. And Peter spends the whole movie just trying to break the will of a woman. But that's what it is. So it's this like sweeping movie of like, remember how much you loved this? And I'm like, I remember laughing at this. I don't think that I have the same affinity for Ghostbusters that the movie expects me to.
There's a lot of that, though. It's part of the toxicity in every fan base. It seems like people just want to get angry about stuff. I don't know why. They remake everything. Things are things. It doesn't matter.
No. We've jumped past 2016 to the 2021 movie that is like, it's saying to you, so I wish you had seen it. It's saying to you, like, your childhood memories of Ghostbusters are these precious things, and we're going to treat it with this honor and respect. And I'm like, Dan Aykroyd got a blowjob from a ghost. I don't understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's a fair point. It's not a mess. It's
paying homage to, or respect to, or honoring Harold Ramis, who died That's I have to say it this time. It was actually the point of the movie.
You were just waiting. You're like, let's do Ghostbusters because I've got one already that I can just throw out there.
I've got two. Director Ivan Reitman passed away. His son Jason Reitman has made these new movies.
Oh yeah, he did.
So like, I get that the movie's going to have some heart to it because it's about Spengler's family, and he does come back at the end as a ghost to help out, and it is actually like really well done. But I don't need the whole movie to be made out of this. Oh, I'm so whimsical for Ghostbusters. No, it's a sex pest.
Does it detract?
Running around, trying to use tragedy to his advantage to get in the pants of Sigourney Weaver, which again, I don't disagree is a fine use of your time.
Right.
What's the last thing she's been in?
I really don't know.
Probably those Avatar movies I won't watch.
Oh yeah, that's why I haven't seen her. So it's been like 20 years since I've seen a movie with Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, she was in Cabin in the Woods, but that was like 20 years ago.
Oh, that's right. Gozer, by the way, it's the, was The Conjuring, that Enfield ghost haunting in England? Gozer was one of the names written on all the walls and stuff in that haunting, allegedly.
One of the things that Afterlife does do well compared to, say, Solo, is that it has to take things you remember from the first movie and then use them and explain them. I think that in Ghostbusters, there's a line where Egon says something like, you know, it was a guy named Evo Shandor. And they actually bring that into the plot of this new movie. And J.K. Simmons plays him as like a dead body that gets resurrected by the coming back of Gozer. And it's like, I get, you know, like, I like that you did it kind of well because they didn't push it so hard in this movie because this movie really, it's kind of loose.
Okay.
With its lore.
Okay.
The lore doesn't exist any deeper in this movie than like
it should,
lines for not- Egon to say.
I don't know. That's what was fun about Ghostbusters is there is this lore, but they don't spend a lot of time having to go into it.
So when you get to Afterlife and the movie's about like how important all this stuff was, and I'm like, it didn't feel that important.
Okay.
To me, I don't
know. Well, I haven't seen it because that's not the movie I watched. What I watched was Ghostbusters, which I watch a little more regularly than I realized because it's always fresh in my mind.
Well, before we get into Ghostbusters, let's get into the thing I teased last week.
What did you tease?
Well, do you want to talk about your credit? You want to do a credit check?
Should we do the credit checks at the end? Is that how credit checks work?
Well, I just said we're going to do it now.
All right. Well, you know what? Unlike the masterpiece that Leprechaun was as a credit check, there's not a lot happening. So I'm very excited by whatever this scandal that you have brought to the table.
I would say it is a scandal.
The only thing that I know. Well, okay. There's two things. Two things in all of these credits. The best boy was Robert Jason.
Correct.
Mired in controversy, I guess. And the other thing? There is somebody on the set, not in the cast. Somebody was the Godfather. And he did something. The Godfather was Jim Nelson. I don't know what a role the Godfather has on a movie set, but it was Jim Nelson.
He makes offers.
And you can't refuse them?
That's right.
Okay. I see.
So.
What is this controversy? My heart is all a Twitter.
A flutter.
No. That's a bye thing. Flutter bye. Butterfly. You know words.
For the first time, I've never seen this credit before, because it wasn't technically a credit. In looking into the credits like you do.
Everybody's doing it.
I saw somebody listed as uncredited best boy. Do you know what this means?
I don't know. I'm still reeling from the shot.
I know.
So how did I miss it?
Well, you looked at the credits at the end of the movie. If he's uncredited, it wouldn't be in there.
Oh, no.
Yes. So Robert Jason is the credited best boy on the movie. There's also a best boy electrical, best boy grip, but there's an actual best boy.
Right.
But there's a man out there named Ron Anderson.
Ron Anderson.
Who is listed on Internet Movie Database as an uncredited best boy on the movie Ghostbusters.
No way.
Erased this from history.
Is the most exciting thing to happen in credit check ever.
You know, it's only the second week of credit check, and we've already got our most exciting thing ever.
It's going to be a hard one to top. This is another scandal. We're case solving this one?
I think it's our new case. We have to discover what happened to this man.
And why? Why? Are there more? Is there a whole legion of best boys who are not credited?
Well, they don't want us to know about them. I know that.
What can these best boys teach us?
I just want to know, what did he do to lose credit?
I'm going the other direction. I think that he has too much important information, like where the aliens are and what the government's really up to and the Illuminati.
So they have to discredit him?
And the pyramids down in Antarctica. And that's where, you know, the holes into the earth go, too.
So they have to discredit Ron Anderson?
And possibly more. Best boys learn a lot. They don't get the title best boy for nothing, Brian. Nope. You know that.
They take it away from you, I guess, for something.
Once you become too good,
yeah,
clearly, you got to be handled like those Jason Bournes. They Bourne identity him.
I'm going to say we're going to look into this later, but we probably won't.
I'll put it up there. Just like I have the mystery of, is Popeye the Sailor Man, is he somehow involved with Popeye's chickens? I've never looked it up, but someday that information will come to me and I'll know the answer.
I think that the chicken place is from Popeye Doyle.
Who's Popeye Doyle?
From the...
That's olive oil you're thinking of, and that was Popeye's girlfriend.
No, Popeye Doyle is the Gene Hackman character in...
Hoosiers.
Yes, Popeye Doyle. No, it's his character.
Mississippi Burning.
In William Friedkin's...
Superman.
These are all his movies.
The one where the little girl vomits and fucks herself with a crucifix.
He's not in that.
Didn't he write it?
William Friedkin directed
it. Yeah, I was right.
I thought you just jumped from the Gene Hackman movies to William Friedkin movies.
The prosecution.
Of which I'm sure you know.
Rests. He did that one because we watched it.
Yes. Well, this is from his best picture winning, best director winning. You got it. Come on.
E.T.?
William Friedkin's E.T.?
Yeah. You didn't see that one?
Yeah.
It was great.
He changed all the kids to guns. He did a retrospective.
He did. Boy, it wasn't M&M's or Reese's Pieces that E.T. liked.
You knew the name of this movie the last time I brought it up.
What are we talking about it the last time you brought it up?
I brought on the Exorcist watch-along. I said he'd just won a Best Director Oscar, and he said, oh, for the French Connection. For some reason, you don't know the name of the movie now.
That's the one with Kevin Kline and Meg Ryan?
Yes. That could have been a good title for that, actually.
I know. Why did they take it? It's a remake. Don't tell them that. Just say it.
And then they could just, yeah, it's the French Connection.
It's the French Connection. And people go in like, oh, they're remaking this movie. How dare they?
Kevin Kline is Popeye Doyle. That's weird. And then I guess Jamie Lee Curtis is, I'm not Jamie Lee Curtis.
Meg Ryan.
And I guess Meg Ryan is the Roy Scheider character.
That makes sense. Hangs well.
I think that's right. I'm pretty sure Roy Scheider's in that movie.
Think so. He was chasing a shark. That was the whole movie.
All right, Pete, what you know about Ghostbusters?
What do I know about Ghostbusters? Well, I told you that we watched that part where they walk up the stairs.
You told me.
I did. And I knew that. And that was all I knew. So I went on the internet too. And I know how I mentioned before how...
Well, I hope you watched it.
I've seen it before.
Okay.
I've seen it before. The IMDb, which is DB Cooper's secret thing, which I was all happy that I thought of it, and it turns out that's like everyone knows that, and I'm not clever.
Hiding in plain sight.
Yep, IMDb. So I went there. So what I found is if you look on those things long enough and like keep like looking, you get to like information and trivia about movies. Like he has things. So I'm calling it.
All right, I'm just gonna say right now though, trivia on IMDb is crowdsourced and not always accurate.
Well, let me tell you, I have all sorts of stuff from DB Cooper's secret stash. I have knowledge such as, did you know that Ron Jeremy is in the movie? Because I knew that without it.
Is he Slimer?
No. Slimer is named Onionhead.
I knew that.
Do you know why?
No.
He was supposed to have horrid breath. Do you know that he wasn't called Slimer until the cartoon?
Yeah, I think I do that.
You know what his other name was on the set? It was John Belushi's Ghost.
Oh, that's funny.
So he was never called anything else. But also, Casper the Friendly Ghost creator tried to sue him for that logo because they said it looks too much like one of our ghosts.
No.
Well, I guess the judge ruled that there's only so many ways you can draw a ghost, so that's what you get.
That's actually not true. Technically, there's an infinite number of ways you can draw a ghost.
No.
I question his judgment.
No, they're like either fat KKK members or they're skinny ones. Those are the two choices you get in your ghost shapes. I've seen a lot of horror movies.
I'm sure they're glad to win, but I take issue with his judgment.
But... also, not just Ron Jeremy in the movie. It's when the...
Jenna Jameson's there, too.
No, Debbie Gibson, even better. But let me tell you, where is it? When the firehouse explodes?
You just did a perfect... completely unintentionally did a perfect Rodney Dangerfield. Let me tell you. it was perfect.
Ooh, tough crowd. I don't get no respect, I tell you. I say that to my kids, and they're like, yeah, no shit, Dad. Like, thanks, guys. Anyway, when they release all the ghosts, when Dickless lets them all out,
yeah.
Ron Jeremy's just hanging out in the crowd outside. And at the restaurant, when Rick Moranis is about to get eaten by the dog, Debbie Gibson is in there, and I had to write it down because I never knew this. She had on, if you're looking for it, pink ribbon in her hair. There were balloons at the table, and Lewis is screaming, "Let me in," as he slowly slides down the glass. Yes, that's Debbie Gibson. She used to play in malls.
Yes, she did.
Her and Tiffany?
Tiffany.
Those are the two I remember.
Tiffany was, I think, We're Alone Now.
Or Debbie Gibson.
No, that was Tiffany.
Okay. What did Debbie Gibson have?
I don't know her songs.
I don't either, but they were always on. Yeah. I think I was a Gibson boy.
Clearly. You don't remember any of her music?
No, but...
You just learned she was in a movie?
Gibson boy, through and through. Anything else did D.B. Cooper impart to me? Oh, yeah, yeah. So when they, partway through the run... Who was it? Reitman? Remus? One of them released a trailer, which was the Ghostbusters commercial with an actual number on it to call. Uh-huh. And it was a recording of Aykroyd and Murray basically saying, like, we're out busting ghosts right now. And it got like 1,000 calls an hour, 24 hours a day of people just calling that.
Wow, that's 24,000 calls a day. he just turned off. I just defeated him with math again.
Hey, what are we talking about?
Did you notice that Carl Winslow / Al Powell is playing a police officer in this movie?
Yes, I did.
Did you know that Family Matters was a spinoff from Perfect Strangers?
I did know that. I don't know why I know that, but
I don't know why I know it either, but I've always known it. And I just thought he was a character on that show. He was only on it one time. His wife was a character on that show for 3 seasons.
That is more than I knew about that show.
Well, I've seen Family Matters. She is not a major part of Family Matters. So they spun this woman off into another show and then gave the show to someone else and his kids and Urkel?
Yes.
That's messed up.
Well, we had to know what the diehard guy...
How excited would you be when you find out you're getting spun off into your own show and then you're like the 8th billed person?
I don't know. I don't follow. You know what I feel like we haven't been doing? Talking about Ghostbusters. I've shared you all my trivia, but...
I just told you that Carl Winslow is in Ghostbusters and right. The cop.
But I feel like I'm good at the trivia. I just like the movie in general. Okay. Everything is great about it.
I see. It is. It's very anti-government.
Is it?
They're in, like, the EPA is following regulations.
Usually the good guys in most scenarios.
Well, they are following their regulations. Walter Peck is actually doing his job correctly, and it's going to lead to the destruction of the world.
But he's such a dick. Clearly he's wrong.
He's a dick? I thought he was dickless.
Well, he's a very dickish, dickless man. Poor one, William Atherton.
If you think about it, though, where is their base of operations?
I don't know. I don't think about it.
A failed firehouse. What is their car? A failed expendable ambulance. That is there,
I thought it was a hearse.
Was it a hearse?
I thought it was. I think it's an old ambulance. It's an old station wagon with the back seat that folds backwards.
It's a real pussy wagon when Peter Venkman drives it.
Man, although if I had a station wagon with that fake wood siding and the seat that faces backwards, it would be a pussy wagon these days.
Yes.
People would be like, oh man, what is that?
The mayor only lets them out because it's going to buy him votes.
Well, cats and dogs.
It's a very anti...
I don't think it was its intention, though. I'm sure it's how it was.
Intend any of this, but it's telling you that government is terrible, that these systems are going to fail you, and that we need private citizens to... do this themselves.
Because government is bloated and useless.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that was a message a lot in the 80s.
It was, because the economy was coming back in 1984. We just didn't realize what was going to happen in the future.
No. No, we didn't. Yeah. I still don't know what happened in the future, and I'm in it.
Future? Well, there used to be a thing called the middle class.
The what now? Who's
exactly. It? Exactly. There isn't anymore because of things that were going on in 1984.
Good old Reagan.
Not Orwell's 84. Reagan's 84.
Thought that was the name of the book. I thought it was like a manual.
I'm pretty sure George Orwell's 1984 was Ghostbusters novel.
It's a good film. I like Ghostbusters.
It's actually one of those two packs. The first half of it, the one side is Ghostbusters, and if you turn it over and flip it over in reverse, the other side is Gremlins.
That would be a pretty cool box set, right?
That's a book I would have read. As opposed to George Orwell's 1984, which all I know about it was an Apple commercial once.
That is all I know it for, too. The lady throws the hammer.
I believe also anti-government.
I think pro-government. I didn't read it.
I didn't read it either.
That guy would not like that big TV screen, though, I can tell you that.
Dude, the lady that threw that hammer.
I was talking about the guy who was typing on the computer next to the lady when she threw the hammer.
Ooh.
That's what I know. I'm trying to think. It's a fine movie, this Ghostbusters.
Well, let's see. We can start with the library. were the actual scary moment of the movie.
A great opening.
Yeah.
Great. It still holds up now. It's creepy. Like that. Those are the special effects that work. I guess the where Sigourney Weaver is floating, that's her with a full body cast, the lifter, and it's got the in the curtains. You can see the pole that's holding it.
Yeah.
And that is what I know.
Did you watch the movie or did you watch just a trivia track of the movie?
I told you, D.B. Cooper had this thing. There was like 500 bits of information. I didn't know D.B. Cooper did this much research into things.
Can I tell you what my concern is? My concern is that you're no longer going to watch movies for this. You're just going to go to IMDb and jot down trivia.
Well, why would I do anything else?
That on Internet Movie Database has about a 20% hit rate of the being what? Accurate. Yes.
The Internet? You mean D.B. Cooper's thing?
Yeah, it's about 20% success rate of being accurate information. Most of the time, it's not.
20% is pretty high.
For you, it probably would be. Yeah.
I never got a 20% on a math test before. That's crazy. Those are lofty peaks. That's like calculus territory. Those are high numbers.
Library.
Yeah. I think my brain has melted.
Because I think that you've too far down the well on these trivia bits.
I went too far down with D.B. Cooper on this one. I had the movie on, and while I was watching it, I was looking up what D.B. Cooper had to say about this movie.
Yeah, don't do that.
No.
Because most of it's not accurate.
I don't know. I did know that Ron Jeremy was in there beforehand.
Ooh.
So that tells me that they all must be true because that one was true.
That's okay. The movie opens in the library, and then they come back to the library where Ray has this big plan to get it. That's his whole thing, get her.
Yes, that's a solid plan.
And then they mortgage his house.
They do everything based on Venkman's plan, which isn't a plan, and he's already been shown to be a terrible person.
Yeah, he's not a good scientist. He's not. Yeah, because we meet him and he's shocking a guy
to get a date, basically.
Yeah, because he's
at no point does he believe in the ghost that he's actively fighting either.
No, he believes it after he sees them.
Well, right, but he's good point.
Yeah. And did you notice at the end of the movie that when you see the Ghostbusters after the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man's been destroyed, three of them are covered head to toe in
he's got that.
A little bit on his head. Now, he did get slimed earlier in the movie, so I can't just say it's like he refused to do it, but he refused to do it, right?
Yeah. That's how I always took it. Not as a kid, but as an adult, I always wondered why he has nothing on him. Is it?
Isn't it weird that he's the one that got slimed? Like, he agreed to that, but he's also like, I don't want that whipped cream all over me?
I don't know.
Or shaving cream, whatever.
Whatever it was, yeah.
Everyone else is fully head-to-toe covered, and he's got a little bit on his hair.
Yup.
He just refused to do it.
That's what I think, and that's why I question, is he an asshole? Like, I don't know.
They must have filmed the getting slimed one first, and then he went to that day, and he's like, no, I'm not doing that again.
Ever again.
I hated it.
I, honest to God, did not know that the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man wasn't a real thing.
I was 100% sure it was a real thing.
Same here. Because I watched it. When I was watching it this time, I don't remember when I learned that. It was a while ago. I was like, I didn't know. They show it in the movie. They show the Stay Puft, that's like there's marshmallows. I think there's an advertisement on a building somewhere. Like, you just see it. And then he's there, and it's not. It's not real. It's not. It's based on the Michelin Man, right?
Yes. And when I was a kid seeing that movie, I thought that was definitely the thing that the marshmallows were called.
Until very recently, yeah. I thought they were all Stay Puft, and I thought the Marshmallow Man was a thing, a real thing.
Yeah, it's a good, marketing.
It's a very good in character, like a brand that you would think is a real thing, because I thought it was a real thing.
Also, Aykroyd delivers that line so perfectly.
The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man?
It's the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. He does. He's so disappointed with himself.
I don't normally like Aykroyd in a lot of things.
Me neither, but he's great in this because he's a little kid.
I think everyone was. Yeah, he was a little kid. He had the enthusiasm. He was the parapsychologist who wanted everything. When Egon was the detached kind of analytical mind behind it, the science.
Let's see if we can do this with the Tin Man. He would be
trying to put them together?
Well, the Lion would be Ray.
Obviously.
The Scarecrow with no brains would be...
Might possibly be Venkman.
I guess it is.
He doesn't.
And the Tin Man is, you got us perfect.
Yep. Yep, there we go. Once again, everything is a Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of Oz did it first.
Yep. Everything comes from the Wizard of Oz.
That guy who hung himself. Those little munchkin people. All right, Pete,
let's play Fuck, Marry, Kill with the three Ghostbusters before Winston gets there.
Fuck, Marry, Kill with the three Ghostbusters. Obviously, I'm going to marry Venkman because he's the best. I could hang out with him. Really? Two peas in a pod, me and him.
Couldn't take him. I would have to murder him.
Out there.
But I'm definitely fucking him because, let's be honest, he's going to woo me over.
Probably going to kill Ray.
I'm definitely killing Ray.
You know why?
I'm marrying Egon because he's serious and takes his work seriously.
Oh, fuck Egon. In case I get like, I got to distract him from all the science. So, you know, he needs a break.
He collects mold, spores, and fungus.
Yeah, that's his thing.
That's his great line.
I like Annie Potts a lot.
She's great in it.
She's great. And yeah. I enjoyed her a lot. Yeah, everyone in this movie, I think, is good.
Yeah, Winston gets shortchanged big time. Not just because he joins late, because he has nothing really to do in between that and the end of the movie.
No, he has a couple of lines.
Gets
it's
that,
weird.
Gets that unbelievably great line when he's hired. When she's like, do you believe in ghosts, spirits, spooks, inspectors? Oh. And he's like, there's a steady paycheck. I'll believe anything you say. It's a perfect line. And then, like, he's just there with nothing to do.
I don't know. As a kid, though, I didn't pick up on that. It wasn't until later viewings that I realized. At the time, I just thought, oh, good, another Ghostbuster. They need the help.
Yeah, that was the whole point. But like, he doesn't get much of a character in this one.
But it was, yeah. Yeah, all right. He doesn't.
They have cool gear since they had to invent it all for this. The trap and the proton pack and the...
Oh, yeah.
PKE it's all very, meter. It's all invented for this. It's all very cool.
It all worked. I think that adds to why the movie is still good. Like, it hasn't gotten... It's one of the ones that holds up. I can't... There's too many slow parts for my kids to watch it for, like, a new, younger crowd. But I think my 10-year-old would be into it. She just got into Beetlejuice, so I'm hoping.
Yeah, this seems like right up the alley of Beetlejuice.
The same kind of thing.
We have to be careful. It's two.
Oh, boy.
We don't need him. We don't need him clowning around down here.
Ba-dum-bum-ba-dum-bum.
You think he, like, is out there, and every time somebody gets to two, he's like, oh, here we go, and they all stop, and he's just like, he gets blue balls.
Probably. Beetlejuice 2 is coming.
Oh, shit.
Bah! Okay, he's gone.
Yeah, he just pops in to say hello. It's weird.
That's what he does now. Michael Keaton's a busy guy. He was in The Flash.
He's got to be advertising that new movie coming out.
What movie is he in?
It's in a sequel to that movie you're talking about. I'm not bringing him back again. It's a waste of his time.
The Secret of Nim? Part 2?
Did you watch the cartoon growing up?
I did. What was the story with the... In the cartoon, there was already a Ghostbusters, so they had to call themselves the real Ghostbusters, and then Bill Murray's brother played or voice acted his character.
I don't know that that's true, because his brother sounds nothing like him.
Mm.
I know at some point the voice character actor gets changed, and it becomes the guy that voiced Garfield in the cartoons.
Okay,
which that's is funny, because then Bill Murray voices Garfield in the movies.
Right, that's what I don't know why I thought it was Bill Murray's brother.
It could have been, but he doesn't sound anything like Bill Murray.
I don't know.
Brian Doyle Murray?
Maybe.
He's the mayor in Punxsutawney.
Thought that was his father.
No, it's his brother.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Because there's a father and, oh my gosh. Bill Murray's pretty old, huh?
Yeah, he's like 70-something.
Not Venkman.
Yeah. This movie's turning 40 this year.
Wait a minute. That means I'm old.
You're turning 45 2 days later.
Oh, no.
That means Gremlins is turning 42.
Shit. I think that one's a little too scary for the kid. They like Gremlins 2, though.
Oh, Gremlins 2 is a masterpiece.
All those early 80s ones.
Everything's too scary for your kids. They're watching. You know me.
I was
your 3 father. Years younger than your son. They're plopping me down watching Nightmare on Elm Street.
It's not the scariness that affects him. It's the boring plot and characters. You don't need to learn these. Just people getting hit over and over again.
This is a YouTube problem. Because he watches everything in small YouTube bits, and he sees highlight reels and montages.
You're talking to the guy who looks at headlines and takes all his information from there.
Do you think Sam will break my record of only having read 17 books in 44 years?
Yeah, I think he's already read more. Admittedly, they're all like Dogman books.
No, those don't count. I'm not talking about reading children's books. I'm talking about when you become a man, you put away childish things.
I don't know that you ever read a child's book.
I don't know that I did either.
I think you really do have 17.
I'm saying like when you are an adult, ish person and later and you go out and you get a book and you're like, I'm gonna sit and read this book. I don't know that he's gonna get to 18.
Are you saying Dr. Seuss doesn't count?
Yeah. I didn't count it in my 17. I'm sure I must have stumbled across a green egg or a ham here and there.
Big A, little A. What begins with A? Aunt Annie's alligator. A.
I was really, I read part of Redfish, Bluefish. I'm not sure how it
is. One fish, two fish, redfish. I think they go into the park in the dark.
You're the person who told me once that that Curious George's friend was the man in the yellow jacket.
Wasn't he?
No.
Oh, right. The man in the yellow jacket got eaten by it at the beginning of that movie, It.
That was a man?
Sure seemed like it. He was chasing a boat or something.
Georgie.
Yeah, see? See? I was Curious George.
Children aren't named George.
Curious George wore the yellow coat. Did
you
know
that was George before you started? Or was that a happy accident that ended up being named George?
That was a happy accident. You think I planned anything?
It was 50-50 because it's too... George is such a rare name.
That George of the Jungle.
It's too fluky that it was real, but you seemed real surprised by the reveal of yourself.
I am constantly surprised by every piece of information I'm given.
And even if that's true, George was wearing the yellow jacket in that one. He wasn't the monkey.
Because he wanted to be like his daddy who wore the yellow hat. Or the yellow boots. I don't remember.
I always thought the man in the yellow hat was the same guy that owned the chipmunks.
It hangs together pretty tightly. I can see
that. He seems to have a fetish of some kind.
A smaller animal fetish.
Yeah.
Interesting. A non-human child.
Yeah.
It's like the dog moms and the cat parents.
Like, we're supposed to look at people like John from, you know, Garfield and the guy that Dave Seville from the Chipmunks and be like, oh, they're loving people because look how they treat their... No, they're crazy people.
They're very crazy people. It's highlighted. Have you ever seen the remove Garfield's voice and just have John talking to himself? Yeah. That's fantastic.
Like, these are sick people that need help.
They're psychopaths, but the chipmunks really talked.
Now, I think the man in the yellow hat gets a pass because monkeys seem to have more autonomy than chipmunks and cats do.
I feel like that makes it worse.
No, I think that you can. I think that you can own a monkey.
Oh boy.
We learned last episode you can own a Warwick Davis. if you have enough money, you can own a Warwick Davis.
They're about the same size. Yep.
You don't want that one back? You want to keep that?
No, it's true. I'm thinking about it.
Well, I mean, there are giant monkeys.
Those are apes.
Yes. There's a whole planet of them somewhere. It was here.
I've been all along.
You bastards.
I've been beneath it.
You blew it up.
I was involved in a war with it. I was there at dawn.
I wonder how many of these you can get.
What's that?
I wonder how many of these you can get.
I don't know. I was there at... Was there a Twilight of the Planet of the Apes?
Maybe. There's a Rise of.
Rise of.
There's a new one coming, too.
Is James Franco in it?
No, he's been dead since the end, since after the first one. It's something they never tell you, but it's true. Because the disease wipes all the people out, except for a select few, including James Franco.
That's right. I saw the... I haven't watched... I'm not caught up on the Apeverse.
I've seen the three new ones that are not new anymore. And I know there's a new one coming, and I'm just like, I've already got through Caesar's whole arc. I don't really need a new one without him.
Oh, this has nothing to do with it. Well, isn't that what the originals did? They just kept making them?
Yeah.
And they kept going to different places?
But
on the planet?
Yeah. There was Escape from, Beneath, Return to... And there's a fourth one, like regular one, and then the original one, and then another one, but I don't know what they're called.
That sounds like a travel show.
I might even be making some of those up.
No, that sounds about right.
This is exactly like the truck dressing conversation we had with Kitty three episodes ago. Beneath the truck, above the truck, in the truck, up for the truck, of the truck.
I'm waiting for these sentences to make sense.
And so is everyone who's been listening for by the way, we've passed a year.
Have we? I didn't get you an anniversary gift.
The Nightmare on Elm Street watch along would have been the 1 year anniversary unmarked because I didn't realize it at the time.
Well, that was the anniversary because you know what? I was going to get you a gift, but then I looked it up and it was too expensive. But apparently there is it came out a while ago. McFarlane Toys did a Red from Mandy action figure.
Nicolas Cage. You were going to buy me.
As your anniversary.
Nicolas Cage action figure as a present.
It's like when I went to the Kennedy Space Center and I bought Kitty a coffee mug for the Artemis launch, which is going to be happening this year, like going back to the moon. She was really underwhelmed about this super awesome coffee mug I got her because I learned all about the Artemis launch.
Do you have any Nick Cage news?
Do I ever not have Nick Cage news? Still brand new Nick Cage news because I didn't have anything else. But this one... I lost my Nick Cage news.
Is it on the chair over there?
No, that was I mean, I'm sure that's filled with Nick Cage news, but that's not the one I was looking for.
There are random papers around the house that just have Nick Cage's name on them, but sometimes they say your name after it, and they're in a heart with an arrow through it.
Yeah.
It's weird.
You should walk around any of the parks here, because I take the kids to a lot of parks. There's a lot of carvings on trees, and there might be some initials. I don't want to say what those initials are, but it might be. Anyway, this is what I found. Brand new Nick. This is news. It's not a knick-knack fact. It's not a pop a cage quiz for you. It's actual stuff. I know that this is once a week, so you only get Nick Cage from me once a week. But there's a website.
I wish that was true.
There's a there's a website you can sign up for. Then they'll and you, if you pay money, they'll send you Nick Cage facts.
We're learning why you couldn't give me that red action figure right now. It's spoiler alert.
Well, look, man. If you want,
wait. Is this your website? Are you advertising right now?
Is this not the plug section? No, but you can. I'm giving this stuff away for free, and people are shocked. That's why you should listen to the podcast if you're going to listen to it. No pressure. I don't want you to. It's awful. Anyway, it's for 10 facts about Nick Cage, it's $1.99. For 30, it's $4.99. For 60, $9.99. And you can set how many facts you want. Every 5 minutes, every 15 minutes, every 30, every 60. Every month is a little too far, but that is one of the options. So just think about that. If you can't wait for your Nick Cage facts, you can sign yourself up. Get them every 15 minutes.
I know you're excited about this, but I want you to think about for a second what this means. You're not even the person doing Nick Cage facts the best. But somebody monetized it. This is the year of your accomplishments. And someone else is doing it better.
I don't know if I would say it's better. See, I'm giving it away for free. I'm a man of the people. People can't. This is how you spread the word. Remember the Leap Day Nick Cage miracle where all of this knowledge was given? Why would you monetize this? It's like, I don't know, monetizing, I don't know, something. Money. It's monetizing money. You don't keep this stuff under wraps. Although,
I wonder if we pay for it, if their facts are as good as he had a gold car.
I saw this movie. Hey, who was the actress who was in the movie with him? He does have a gold car?
Hey, didn't you tell me he had a gold car?
Does he?
You don't remember your own facts. This is every fact is duty. You should one next year, starting in 2025. So we're going to wait a full year so people will forget this. You should tell the same fact every week. It'll be like that time that the co-anchor on a new show wore the exact same suit every day for a year to see if anyone noticed, and no one noticed.
But everyone's going to notice. People are screaming for Nick Cage. See, this has sprung from my Nick Cage. People took my idea, which was free, and they said, I can't do that. I'm not that kind of person.
Well, I hope that they're just taking your news, and that's what they're putting out there, so that we can do it, and then we'll get one back saying that, you know, you can pay for Nick Cage facts.
You know, it's interesting. We're past our 1 year.
Yeah.
And that's 52, and there's the most you can get is 60, and I'm pretty sure I've given away enough Nick Cage facts that it's funny.
Oh, it's definitely over 60.
They don't have more than 60 they offer, because maybe they did. Maybe they did.
Maybe they will.
I wonder if this is worthy of Animal Court. Do I need to take these people?
To Judge Reinhold?
Is that who runs Animal Court?
I think so.
I believe that feels right.
I think you said
he is the judge.
Yeah,
that makes sense. That sounds like something I would say.
Yeah, I think you actually said you were Judge Reinhold. Yeah. We all looked at you like you make no sense.
I am Judge Reinhold.
That was the Gremlins episode.
Ooh, also famous liberators.
Gremlins came out the same day as Ghostbusters. It's mind-blowing. You can hear facts like people tell you like, oh, did you know that the 10th president of the United States still has a grandson out there? And I'm like, okay, I see how that works with math. But you tell me Gremlins and Ghostbusters came out the same day? That's fucking incredible.
I wonder if people did a Barbieheimer with it.
Ooh, what would it be called?
Ooh. Gremlins and Ghostbusters. they weren't so sophisticated back then. They couldn't. Merging things together, portmanteauing things, this is not allowed.
So you could have seen this movie for your 5th birthday and or Gremlins.
I didn't see either one. No. I watched both of them on VHS. I remember that.
I saw both of them in the theater. I saw Gremlins in a movie theater on a re-release in 85.
Man.
And I saw Ghostbusters in the drive-in because I grew up right next to a drive-in.
You had a way better, just like the kid from Monster Squad. Did you sit there in the roof and watch it with your binoculars?
No, but I don't know what it was paired with, but I know it wasn't paired with Gremlins. And this was not one of the ones where you could go and they had three screens.
Yeah.
There was one screen.
It
was
I don't like those.
It was the Grandview Theater that used to be in Derby, New York. It's a big old time, very classic place.
Been I gone wonder for a long if time. There's drive-ins open. Like, how many are still open in the country?
I saw Jurassic Park on that screen.
Oh.
Just because it was cool to drive out there and do it.
Okay.
I wasn't driving it, but that's something that...
It would have been cooler if you were driving.
I went with someone who was like, this will be a cool thing. And I don't know how many are left. We have four screens down on transit.
Yep, there's one.
But that's nearby. Crazy because there used to be three screens, so they expanded it.
Well, it's the.
I think there's one right around the corner from your house, but they took that away and put up fucking cancer research centers or some shit that we don't need.
When will people learn?
I saw Speed at the drive-in, at the Gravity drive-in. And I saw.
The Sign?
The Sign.
Starring Mel Gibson.
And who was this kid in that?
Joaquin Phoenix. Oh, no, you know who it was? It was the kid from Poltergeist.
Oh, no.
It looked dead like the kid from Poltergeist.
Is that Kieran Culkin?
Is he in Home Alone?
Probably.
He probably is in one of them.
He probably is. He's probably one of his brothers in one of them. You'd think that he has these brothers. They should just been in that movie.
Right.
Right? Because he had Buzz instead. Looked nothing like him.
I feel like Buzz was...
Although Buzz kind of looked like John Hurd, passed away. I know I saw The Crow at a drive-in too, and the movie was way too dark for the drive-in.
Yes, that was my only problem with drive-ins was yes. If it was anyone had their lights on or if it wasn't dark enough out, you couldn't see. Even if it was dark, it was hard to see.
It was dark out. And I saw The Crow, but it was the movie itself is so dark that like forget it, you couldn't see shit.
Nope, I don't remember that because I've only seen it since the theater. I saw it in the theater.
Pete, did you know?
Probably not.
That there's a Crow remake coming out.
I did know.
We both thought looked like a prequel to the first pictures of, what's his name?
Jared Leto or Leto.
It looked like a prequel to Jared Leto's Joker.
It does. That was the exact thought. Check out that picture if you haven't seen it. It's one of the Skarsgårds as the Crow Boy.
It's the creepy Skarsgård.
The It one?
Yeah.
I don't know how many Skarsgårds are. Isn't one of them a vampire?
Yes, that's the hot Skarsgård.
Okay. And then isn't
one
of them?
He was also the one that you watched the movie where he was the Viking.
Oh, yeah.
And there's Stellan Skarsgård.
Isn't one of them involved with Thor somehow?
That's Stellan Skarsgård.
Okay. He's like a professor scientist.
And the other, the creepy one who gets all the horror movie roles is going to be the new Crow. Pete, do you remember who played the Crow in the original Crow?
Yeah, and I know what happened to him.
Do you know who played him? Do you know what happened to his dad, by any chance?
No, actually, I don't.
They both died on the set of a movie.
You know how Houdini died?
Yeah.
How?
He said, who? And then he said, I'm Houdini. And then somebody said to him, who? And he goes, Didi. And then punched him in the face and they punched him in the stomach.
Then he died?
And then he died.
Do you think he's waiting around for somebody to say who? Like if you forget Houdini's name and somebody does say who, he pops up?
He
like,
gets messed up. That's the secret word that he told his wife and nobody ever guessed it when she went to all those clerics.
Who?
Deanie. He was going to pop back up and say Deanie.
Yeah, and he's been waiting. No one's doing it yet because we all know his name.
Yes. I forgot what I was looking up. I'm going to give up on that.
I'm going to guess Stellan Skarsgård, or the hot one. As hot as Bob Hoskins when he's young and muscular, pretending to be Wolverine.
Oh, what was going to put him into Bruce Lee?
I like that you looked around the room at posters of comic book characters in Star Wars. I'm like, oh yeah, Bruce Lee.
I like that the death bit has gone so far. Like, hey, Pete, do you know who was in The Crow? Like, yes, I don't want to talk about it.
Well, he is famously dead.
I know what happened to him.
That was like what it was all about. And I remember being very proud of myself at the time because, you know, I have trouble knowing that actors are actors and not just characters in movies.
Yes.
But also that the scene where they shoot Brandon Lee or the Crow happened really early in the movie. And I was like, oh, they must have filmed it out of order.
Yes, they did. So, you know, the guy that shot him, he's dead now. He regretted it for the rest of his life.
Well, I would imagine.
He said it was horrible. He said he'll get over it.
Well, I can't imagine how awful that would be.
Really? Because Alec Baldwin seems like he's doing fine with it.
I ran over a squirrel once, like 20-something years ago, and I'm still haunted by it.
Here it is. On May 10th, 1973, Bruce Lee collapsed during an automated dialogue replacement session for Enter the Dragon. So he was at a film studio doing voiceover, and he was having epileptic seizures and headaches. He was rushed to the hospital and died of cerebral edema.
He got kicked in the head too many times?
I don't think he ever got kicked in the head. Nobody lands a shot on Bruce Lee.
No? I guess not. That's not really on set.
It is on post-production set.
Hmm. I see. Yes. That's stretching it a little bit.
He was working on a movie when he died.
I'm working on a movie.
And Brandon Lee was also doing that, except somebody shot him accidentally.
I'm shaking my head.
I want to say Michael Massey was his name.
Michael Madsen?
Michael Massey. I believe that was the name of the guy.
No.
The actor who unfortunately added to our podcast.
Michael Madsen died too, didn't he?
No, not yet. We'll find out if he's a decent person or not.
I guess so. That is the criteria for this awesome power we wield.
Nick Cage must be some kind of some bitch.
I'm telling you. No, he's not. He's just immune to everything.
Anybody who didn't listen to last week's episode, we discovered that by killing Richard Lewis that we have the power of life and death. If we mention you on the podcast, you go quick. Yeah. Unless you're a piece of garbage because Jeffrey Jones is still walking around out there.
And that's like the 18th week in a row he keeps getting brought
up. I'm trying to use my powers for good.
I see, but it doesn't work that way. I'm going to stop saying people's names.
Did you know, and you do, because I told you this earlier today, I found out Jeffrey Jones was born in Buffalo, New York, where we are right now.
Keep it real, Buffalo.
Yeah.
So proud.
Our greatest treasure.
Man, well, William Fichtner's from here, too, so do they cancel each other out?
Well, now you've killed him.
Oh, no.
So I don't know. You know who the luckiest person in the world is? The guy that isn't the guy that we think is in Stakeland. Because we can never remember his name. He's going to live forever.
Not Kim Coates.
Kim Coates is fucked. Nah, the guy that's not Kim Coates.
The guy who looks like Kim Coates.
He's going to live forever.
And I'm not sure that I've ever seen a Kim Coates movie because I can't tell the two of them apart. I might have only seen movies with this person.
He's at Open Range.
This person or Kim Coates?
Kim Coates.
Are you sure about that?
I don't know. It's impossible to tell.
Yeah, he's safe.
Who could tell him apart?
He's going to be around forever.
Yeah, so I'll never remember his name.
They should be in a movie together where they switch roles, kind of like Lynchy style, where they just keep changing.
They should pull a Parent Trap.
A Freaky Friday with themselves. Well, this has been a fantastic Ghostbusters review.
We talked about Ghostbusters.
We did. It's a great movie. Everyone should go see it. The special effects hold up. The monsters are fun. Everyone's great in it. And it's just fun. It's a good movie. Go see Ghostbusters.
I get to see Sigourney Weaver do a comedy, which is fun.
Had she done anything? Like, I know she did Aliens, right? Before that?
She did Aliens after it. She did Alien before it. Actually, no. She did.
Alien was a prequel.
Alien was a prequel. It just happened to come out first.
Yeah. What do you think a prequel does?
So in 79, she made that. 84, she made this. I don't know what she was working on in between. Was this Gorillas in the Mist after that, I think?
No, so Gorillas was after.
87, I think. Aliens is 86.
This must have been pretty early on then for her.
Well, as I've just stated, she made Alien in 1979. This was 84, so I don't know what she did the 5 years in between.
She did Aliens. Remember?
Yeah, it took 8 years to film.
I don't know. But it's good to see Rick Moranis because he doesn't act anymore.
That's true.
You know why? The internet told me. It's famously told me. It tells me all the time. I'm not looking for this. And the world likes to tell me how great Rick Moranis is and why he doesn't act anymore.
Wasn't it his wife got sick or something?
Yeah. So he had to go take care of his kids.
Oh, there you go. How did that turn out?
He was in a commercial with Ryan Reynolds just recently.
Oh, so he's a liar.
What do you mean?
He does work.
He does. But the commercial was actually pretty funny. Ryan Reynolds just has him come out, and Rick Moranis is like, hey. And he's like, what do you want me to do? And Ryan Reynolds is like, nothing. Just wanted to say hi. And that was it.
She didn't do a lot in between. She made a movie called Eyewitness that I've never heard of. She made a movie called Deal of the Century I've never heard of. And she made a movie called The Year of Living Dangerously, which I have heard of but have never seen. So Alien did not get her a lot of immediate work.
I guess not.
Then you get to Ghostbusters, and then a couple movies I never heard of, but then you get Aliens, Gorillas in the Mist, Working Girl, Ghostbusters 2, Alien 3. Now she's on. You get Dave. Now she's on fire.
I miss Dave.
Your brother?
No. No.
The movie Dave?
Yes.
It's a good one. It combines two things you like, Sigourney Weaver and Kevin Kline.
I do like me some Kevin Kline.
And Ving Rhames.
Oh, yeah. He was the security guard.
Well, they call them Secret Service agents, but sure.
He was a security guard. I forgot to say, when I found this Dave Puff Marshmallow Man, I was looking at the I don't know why, probably because I have too many things from the internet search engine spitting them out. You can buy a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man costume, and not like a big suit, just the little, it's a sweater that's got the little bib on it and the little necktie, and my God, I want that.
You know who else is in that movie? Laura Linney, Ben Kingsley,
yep,
Frank Langella, and the late Charles Grodin. Had to get one.
Which dog was Charles Grodin involved with? It wasn't Clifford. Was it Beethoven? Or was it
John? Beethoven.
It was Beethoven. Yeah. Back when he acted.
Back when, yeah. You know, that soundtrack, Brahms. Okay, we gotta go. Happy Ghostbusters week.